Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armeley.
He's going to share just for a few minutes, and Pastor's going to share after I actually bring the word. I just wanted to come up and share a few thoughts. Is that all right? If you're a guest here, we welcome you. Yeah, we'll do that in a minute. We welcome you. Glad we can be open. Isn't that a good thing? And we are also trying to walk in faith and wisdom and do as much as we can to really comply with the guidelines. Not that we have to comply, we want to comply, right? We want to create safe atmospheres for people to worship, and we're doing the best that we can. We're blessed that we have lots and lots of room. Isn't that a good thing? You know, one of these days we won't, but right now we do. And so it's good timing that we can. And of course, there are a lot of people that are either gone over the holidays or maybe sick and different things. So we want to honor that. And we got the word out last night. We really wanted to pray about what we needed to do. And so we feel right now, as long as we can, we're going to keep our doors open. Amen. And we're going to use wisdom. That's why you'll see the doors are propped open. So, you know, the less we touch, the better. And we know also that there's a lot of panic and fear happening right now. And what I want to say to us as a church, I believe this is actually can be a great hour, one of the greatest hours. I really do. I believe that this is, you know, you've heard it said many times. I'm not sure the first person that ever, you know, used this analogy, but when they take a diamond ring and they put it on the, you know, they don't put it on a white surface, they put it on a dark black surface so you can see the glory of that ring, right? And so I believe this is an amazing opportunity for the church to arise. If you can, why don't you turn to Isaiah 60? We've preached out of this many times, and it's not a new scripture by any means, but I think it's a perfect scripture for right now, and it goes exactly with the God of Revival song that we were singing, Isaiah 60. It says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." And I love the fact that it doesn't say, "Arise and shine, for your light may come," or hopefully it'll come. It says, "It has come." And we know that when Jesus died on the cross, it came. And not only did it come, well, it came when he was born, but when he died, you know, we always joke around, we say, tag, you're it, because he said, I'm the light of the world, and then he said, you are the light of the world. Tag, you're it, go and be the light of the world. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's not a maybe it'll rise upon you, that's it's risen upon you. So turn to your neighbor and say, you got the goods. You got the glory. And then it says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And darkness can look many different ways at many different times. And right now, it looks like fear and panic. And at the same time, it does look like sickness. One of the things I want to make our church aware of or ask of you is that we need to be sensitive in this time. Because as much as it's not hitting us and we're thankful for it, and we don't know what the day's ahead, and yes, it could look like the flu, and yes, we know that the flu kills people every year, but we need to be sensitive because there are people in other countries that are in dire straits. And I think, you know, one of the scriptures I wanted to share with you, you don't have to turn to it, but just real quick, it says this in, let me get to it. In Matthew 9, verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, being Jesus, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And so, honestly, it really doesn't matter what our theories are based on this. And I really am not into conspiracy theories, and I don't like when that's all I see on the internet. It really doesn't matter because the fear in people is real. Whether it's a made-up fear, a media fear, it doesn't matter. The fear is real. And so it says here that Jesus had compassion on them. He didn't question why they were weary. He didn't question why they were fatigued. He didn't question maybe why they were fearful. And I'm sure for in his perspective, because we can go to the disciples in the boat when they were weary, and he's like, man, you guys should know better than this. But that means we should know better than this. But it doesn't mean the world should know better than this. So we shouldn't be running around with conspiracy theories and, oh, you know, this is all fake news. We should be having compassion on people. and we should be a light. And I was blessed, and I honestly want to say it was not as much me as the Spirit of God in me, because I am exuberant, but I would have to say that what came upon me when I was in Zares was the Spirit of the Lord, because on Thursday, you know, a week ago, we were planning for youth conference. Like, we were like, hey, there's going to be youth here from all over southwestern Ontario. And on Wednesday night, Pastor Rod texted me and he said, oh my goodness, they've just canceled the NBA or suspended the NBA season. And it was like a domino effect. Boom, 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 boom. And within 24 hours, everything had changed. And so that Thursday, we're praying about, hey, what do? We want to be good stewards of what we've done. We want to be good stewards of people's time, energy. You know, here's parents putting kids on buses to come here. We want to be wise. And at 4 o'clock, it came across that they had closed the schools. And so we knew at that point we didn't have a choice. We really wanted to honor what they're trying to do. So I thought, let's go get a few groceries because we needed some. Who knew that Zares would be nuts? And we've seen it all over. It's crazy. It's that panic mentality. And so as we're in line, and I'll have to just, oh, I know Heather's like, don't you even say my name. Heather was just rocking it at the till. But those girls were exhausted, and they had a lot of angry people. And so in that atmosphere, it's like the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I thought, I'm just going to do what we always talk about. Let's change the atmosphere. So I began to be loud and joke, and my girls ended up being with me, and we're joking around. And then all of a sudden, it's funny because the whole mood changes around us, and we're all joking. And I'm texting Krista because we're in the lineup all the way down the line. So every time I pass something, I'm like, do we need this? No. Do we need this? And I don't know, it just became a funny atmosphere. And the one girl, she starts getting loud. She's like, I honestly just want one case of toilet paper because I need it, but I feel like a hoarder now. And, you know, all that weird, funny mentality. And we get to the front of the line. Here's the cool part of the story. This is how simple it is. We get to the end of the line, and the girl behind me goes, I want to thank you. She says, you are so positive, and I so needed that. I'm so glad I lined up behind you. You know, I didn't share the gospel with her or anything like that. I just changed the atmosphere. And so we got to know right now, this is a great opportunity to change atmospheres, to change the mood, to help people understand there's going to be tomorrow. Hope is still around. And I love it. It says, behold, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. That's good news. And his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light. Come on, that's good news. The Gentiles, those that don't know the Lord, will come to you. But if we are downplaying in the sense of course, downplaying, but if we're not realizing that we need to have compassion in this moment, they're not going to come to your light because they're looking for hope, faith, and compassion. So it's a great opportunity to have compassion and just to love on them and say, hey, I know this is a scary time, but God's bigger than this. God's way bigger than this. We also want to be aware that, you know, it doesn't matter when somebody loses somebody for whatever reason, it's tough. So it doesn't matter if they catch the flu or COVID or any other reason, it's tough. And we want to have compassion for people. I saw a Twitter, somebody's, you know, from Iran. He said, listen, this is not easy. He said, I just buried, or my aunt just buried her husband, my uncle, he was saying, and they couldn't get even near the burial site, and the people that buried them had hazmat suits. Like, so you can imagine trying to bury somebody. That would be horrific. He says, so we want to have compassion on people and don't just say, well, the flu kills people. I don't care. It's hard when somebody dies. So let's have compassion. Let's have compassion, amen? We're still going to be open as long as we can. Prayer will still happen on Tuesdays and Fridays, and if because so many people want to come to pray, we'll pray in here. You know what I mean? They want us to be, you know, doing social distancing, so we'll do it. We have lots of room in here to pray. So we'll turn on the heat and we'll pray. We'll pray up a storm. Mary will be there on Fridays, and Rod, one of us, will be there on Tuesdays, and so we'll pray up a storm. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pastor Claude is? Pastor Claude is going to, we're trying to find strategic ways to minister to people at this time. One of the things that Pastor Claude's going to do is write a letter that he's going to bring to his neighbors and stick it in their doors and let them know, basically, if you need anything, if you're in trouble in this season, if you're an elderly person, you can't get to the store, let us know. We'll help you out. So this is when the church gets to leave the four walls. What's that? Oh, you put them in the mailboxes already this morning. Praise the Lord. Kristen and I already put this on Facebook. We just decided on Friday, we went for a walk. Instead of just praying for my household, let's pray for our community. We just began to pray, Lord, we just say the COVID-19 will not get anywhere near these houses. We pray health over every house and every person. Let's be proactive. Amen? And so we're, like I said, we're going to stay open. Please, if you do have a cold or something serious, please stay home. Be wise. There are some people here that texted me and said, we want to be there, but so-and-so is sick, and we just feel like we need to stay home. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be light. Light it up. That was going to be our tagline for Awaken. We will be doing Awaken. We've just postponed. I said suspended. Postponed. We don't know when yet. When all this dies down, we're going to do it. And our tagline is, it was Mighty Ones this year, but we just kept feeling this, light it up, light it up. So, church, let's light it up. That's just a fun word to say anyway, isn't it? It's a fun sentence. All right, Christy, you want to come give the announcements? I don't know. Yeah, they're just really, if you're a guest here and you want to fill out a greeter's card, that would be awesome. Yeah, there's really not, because we've had to cancel the Awaken Conference. The Alpha, that's in April. April. So we'll see. We'll play it by ear as things continue, because April 4th is just really around the corner already. Communion. We're not going to be doing communion until we find a different way to do communion, because we stick our hands in the plate to take fishy crackers, and that's just not wise in this hour. So we're looking into the actual communion cups to see what we can do. You may find over the coming days that we put on Facebook that we're going to do corporate communion at this time, and we'll go Facebook Live and try to get on so we can take communion together at our houses and pray together. So we're blessed to have technology. You know, in a day and age when it could be worse, we have technology, we can communicate with each other. Amen. So, amen. Pastor Rod, come on up. You can add anything if you want.
Well, it's offering time. Amen. One of the words that I feel like the Lord has been whispering in my ears, even in regards to finances, is get off the what-if train. Because that's the train that goes in a wrong circle. What if this, what if that, what if that? And maybe you're not like that, but my mind can go on a train with that if I let it. And I'm choosing to believe. And the Lord had placed even in my heart this morning about Isaac's journey and about the fact of sowing in the midst of famine. And not being afraid. And when everyone else around him, and if you look up Genesis 26 and just read that chapter, you'll see that he sowed in the midst of a famine, and boy, did he ever reap. And so I am choosing right now, not only just within to begin to sow my hope and to sow my faith and to sow my expectancy and to sow just simply, sometimes we're just going to have, even what you talked about, have to sow our happiness, just that sense of what God's done. But I'm also choosing in this situation right now, I am declaring that the Lord is God of my finances. Amen. And I'm believing that in the midst of all of these things, and we just began to, even with me right now, would you, we just declare over our world economy that the hand of God upon it right now. We believe over our economy, over our nation, that the hand of God be on our economy, over our nation. And we believe right now that every one of us will begin to step up without fear and begin to say, Lord, use me. Come on, right? Use me in this situation. And so I just felt like that word today was, let's get off the what if train and let's begin to go in the sense of the expectation of what God will do and what God will do with our finances. He was challenging me this morning, and sometimes I feel like maybe I shouldn't say these things, but whenever that happens, I have to ask, okay, is this the enemy trying to get me to be quiet? But I feel like for me, and so just maybe it's just a personal thing, but I'm going to choose to sow a little more aggressively in this season right now, to sow into other people's hearts, other people's lives, and as well to sow into the work of God. So I encourage you to stand with me if you would, and I'm just going to pray, and then I encourage you to come to give. So Lord, once again, we completely and wholly rely upon you, because you are faithful. We take our businesses right now and we put them in your hands, Lord. I know that we live and breathe and this is the way, but it's just a reminder right now that we take everything we have and we place it in your hands again, just as a statement that says, we trust you, Lord. And we believe that we will be able to spread this joy, spread this light, and we will begin, even with our finances, we will begin to be different, and we will light it up everywhere we go, Lord. We thank you for this now, in your name, amen, amen. I encourage you to come and give.
Amen. You know, in 08, when everything went south economically, we were blessed, actually, when everybody else was laying people off, we actually brought Pastor Rod on, which was Pastor Gary had the word of the Lord, and we brought Pastor Rod on in 08, and nobody thought that could be possible. And so listen, when you have faith, God's going to take care of you. I want to pray over some people.
I was going to do the same thing. So. Okay. If you have, I was going to sit down and just leave it, and the Lord was like, remember I told you to do this, Rod, so I'm going to do it. If you got a business in the house, would you stand up right now? Now, what I want everybody else to do is we're not going to get up and lay hands on them, but we're going to put our hands towards them. So God, we thank you for what you're about to do in the midst of this business. We thank you for the seed that is already in the ground. And Lord, as you begin to show me the miraculous changes that are going to begin to happen, that Lord, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, we trust you right now fully, and we declare a new day, a transformation. It's like what I'm seeing right now for some of these businesses is a birthing of something brand new, something that they didn't even expect. In a way of, I see one of the particular businesses of being, it's like a transformation come on it. And when we're all said and done, we're going to go, wow, I wouldn't have had the faith to step out to do that before. But in these circumstances, in these situations, God, you gave me the faith that I needed. And so I pray protection upon them. And Lord, I pray that they right now, we send them into the harvest, that everywhere they go, they will be a light with their words, and they will light it up of what you are doing all around them in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So Lord, we lift, and all those that we didn't mention, we lift them up to you. Lord, you see what needs to happen. Lord, we don't know because we don't know what's going on in different airports and different things. We know what they're saying, but Lord, you know. So Lord, I ask that you would quicken in their hearts if they need to get back, and if they're trying to get back, I pray that you would give them the flights necessary, the connections necessary, the right people to call, the number to call, that they would be able to get home, and they would be able to get home on time without any issues. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My brother was in Ottawa and had to get back, and it was impossible. Like they had there, I think he was going to be the next day. And Tim would often say, he says, like, I don't always feel the prompting of the Lord, but he says, all of a sudden he felt like he needed to run down to the other section of the airport. And so he ran, only to find out the plane that he was originally going to go on that canceled, all of a sudden decided to uncancel. And if he wouldn't have run down there, he wouldn't have known that. And so last person that got on. And Tim's not a very emotional person, but he signed up on a waiting list, and they called his name, and he screamed as loud as he could. And he got on, and then they said it'll be impossible to make your flight in Toronto. He made his flight in Toronto and got home. So we know that God can do incredible things, so let's believe it for our friends abroad. Amen. Great idea. Great idea. Pastor, why don't you come up and pray for that, and then we'll get you started. That's a great idea because we know that lots of things are shifting. Healthcare workers,
So, Father, we thank you for all our healthcare workers, doctors and nurses. Someone just told me that, is it Henry Ford that staffed 65% from Canada? So, Father God, we just thank you for them. We thank you that they're going to have safety going through the border. Our trucks that have to go back and forth through the borders, Father God, to keep the economy going. Father, we just cover them all with the blood of Jesus for protection, the drivers for protection. But, Father, the healthcare workers in particular, the paramedics, the firemen and women, Father God, the nurses, the doctors, Father, all those, Father, that work in the many in the different departments. We cover them with your blood, Jesus. We claim Psalm 91 over them, that they are hidden in the secret place of the Most High God. And Father, that because you love them, they are protected. We pray safety for them. We pray protection for them, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your favor in this hour. Father, we just pray, Father, for just such wisdom for this hospitals and their managements, that they know how to have the proper supplies there for the nurses and the doctors as they work, that they're covered and protected, Father God. We just thank you for your intervention here, Father God. We thank you for the miracles we're going to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the offering, Father. Multiply it. We thank you, Lord, for your multiplied blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2008, when it got so bad, I was pastoring at that point, and I remember the Lord just instructing me to put faith and hope in people as they brought their tithes. And I really felt I had the word of the Lord that no one was going to have financial difficulties, that we were going to prosper in that time because we were blessing the Lord. Amen? And that's exactly what happened. And it's at that time that everybody was laying off staff. And God brought Pastor Rod to us. And the Holy Spirit just said, Gary, hire him. Best thing we ever did was to hire Pastor Rod. I'm so grateful. Amen? Yeah, he's been a tremendous blessing to our house. And I remember Pastor Rick coming into my office from Windsor Christian and saying, what are you doing? We just laid off staff. I said, God told me to hire him. God says he's going to provide. And he did in the most interesting way. Unemployment paid for half his salary the first year. Made it possible for us to just, God's faithful. He is faithful. And so for people that are thinking, you know, our business is going to go belly up, just claim Psalm 91 and pray and say, Lord, because I'm yours, we're blessed. Amen? Amen. God is faithful. Well, it's my privilege this morning to finish the series off that we started. From root to fruit, it's all in him. And I'm just going to quickly recap. I'm not going to make it real long. I want to just quickly recap the points that the other three pastors have made already in the teaching. For those of you that haven't been here, it is online. It's worth listening to, especially in this season. The key scripture text is Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom this whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, meaning us, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So over the last 3 weeks, Pastor Jay and Rod have brought forth certain aspects of this teaching. Pastor Jay focused on the fact that when you put a plant in the ground, and he showed that beautiful short video with a classical music in the background of a bean plant growing and how it puts down the taproot and how it puts out all the side veins, right? And how before anything ever shows up above the ground, there's an incredible root system already. And you know, what an example to us that we need to put down the root system. The other picture he showed was the depth of the foundation that gets put in the ground for a skyscraper and how that has to be so deep to hold the weight of the superstructure above it. And as I was sitting there last night and this week looking at what I would preach, I thought, Lord, isn't it the truth? The test of where our foundation is in this hour is upon us. It's upon us. Are we rooted in Him? Is our foundation strong enough? Are our roots down deep? If they're not, this is a good time to say, God, I'm sitting with you and I'm going to get deeper and stronger with you. I believe we're going to see an incredible level of salvations in this hour. I really do. Because when everything is going well, it's easy to just go on your own. But when the going gets tough, people start to think about, maybe I need to talk to God. And so we say, Lord, let people come to know Jesus. All right? So the picture was very clear that was painted, that the foundation needs to be strong. Pastor Rod spoke of a tree that puts down its roots into the ground until it reaches an underground water source. And that really spoke to me, because isn't that how we are supposed to be? We have an underground water source called the River of God, the life of the Lord inside of us that is to minister to us constantly. He spoke about the fact that this tree, even in dry desert times, will be green. And the Bible speaks to us as being like cedars of Lebanon and being green trees. And when we're older, even being green trees when we're old of age. Amen? But that's only because of the Lord. And there's a river that we can be fed from, the river of His presence that we're fed from daily. Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." Not only is that water to go into us, but it's to flow out of us. Amen? He also taught about the soil of our hearts. And I think this needs recapping. If our hearts have been hardened through life's circumstances, it's hard for us to hear what God is saying. His key phrase was, "Don't blame the ground if you're not working it." That was a powerful statement. Don't blame the ground if you're not working it. We were asked to test the soil of our hearts and to see if we had any offenses in our hearts, if we needed to forgive anyone. Did we have offenses? We kept recalling and recalling and recalling, because that hardens our heart towards a person, towards the Lord. And so we were advised to walk a lifestyle of repentance, which is Matthew 6:14. So how crucial that is, that our hearts are tender towards the Lord. The scripture that he referred to was about the soil, Matthew 6:14. But this is a season for us to have good ground, to produce bountiful crop. And his final word that he put on the web or on Facebook was, "Good soil sustains life." And our soil has to be good. I'll tell you, this is testing time. It is. And I believe that we're going to come through with flying colors, that we have a deep, deep foundation. Last Sunday, Pastor Jay spoke about that the tree is planted in good soil. If the roots go deep and are strong, he said, is one point. If the roots are nourished on a daily basis, if the tree is in the sun, or the plant is in the sun, S-O-N, are we in the sun? Then being fruitful is a natural process. And we can't make fruit happen. Fruit happens when we're attached to the vine, when we're in His presence. Amen? I pulled up three slides. Is there somebody there? Are they there, Josh? Because last Sunday, Pastor Jay talked about the garden, the restoration of the garden. And he talked about a movie, Biggest Little Farm. I went home and watched it. But I remembered the pictures we had. Jack and I had the privilege on our 50th wedding anniversary of going to Hawaii. And we were on Big Island. And on Big Island, I think they're American. An American couple bought a piece of land. And it was going down the side of the mountain to the Pacific Ocean. But it was a garbage dump. It was filled with garbage. And they began to restore that, little by little. And we had the privilege of walking through this incredible, incredible garden. When you see some of the pictures, it's you picture the Garden of Eden, what God does when he restores. And that is what he's doing in our lives. He's restoring. We are a garden to the Lord. And next one. Look at the size of the plants. That's Jack standing there. See the little person? But seriously, look at the size of the plants. Next one. There's one more, I believe. Look at. That really gives you a picture of what, I mean, I've got pictures of flowers. I just didn't want to get into that. But the vines, they're the vines we have here that might be this long. They were incredible. I mean, God's beauty restored. And it took hard work because they had to clean the ground. You know, they had to work with it. We have to work with the soil of our heart. You know, God begins to show us things when we sit with him and we're reading the word. He begins to show us things that aren't in order. He begins to show us when we're holding unforgiveness to somebody or bitterness towards a situation or a person. And when he shows us, he means for us to deal with it. Because as we plow up the ground, then the seeds that we plant begin to flourish and you get this. You know, in the spirit. Thank you. You can turn it off. So I want to just today, I want to finish up by talking about being rooted in love. And I think it's already, so many things have been said. Leif Hetland, most of us know who he is. A gentleman actually that goes into Pakistan and into the Muslim nations where Christians are really not supposed to speak or go. And this man has led literally thousands of Muslims to the Lord because of the baptism of love that he carries. And he is called now in those nations that are closed to the gospel, the ambassador of love. And he makes this statement, if you have a revelation of a big daddy, then you will have small problems. If you receive of God as your small daddy, then you will have big problems. The key, therefore, is to be aware of Father's big love for us. Isn't that good? So I read you a scripture out of Ephesians. I want to read it to you again, this time out of an amplified version. So when I think of the wisdom of his plan, I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would pour out over you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Then as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measure, beyond knowledge. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Wow. Filled to overflowing with the fullness of God as we allow that intimate place with the Lord to be developed inside of us. As we allow that place of his love to become the very source and root of our lives. That's where we need to turn. It's the only place to turn. And I've said it in here a few times already. I'm in a season of my life where that's where I have to turn. Constantly. And so it's an amazing place. I can be so upset and so inside out about something and have to back out and go into my room and sit down and just sit with him and just turn my face to his, and I feel the flood of his love come, and what seems so big and overwhelming and out of balance and out of perspective, the way the enemy does to us in our thought processes, it comes back into line, and I feel him just, his presence, and I feel him speak. It's okay. I'll show you how to do it. His grace is sufficient. You know, the love factor for many is difficult. But as the years have unfolded and I've walked with the Lord, there was a time when I began to understand the depth of his love like I never understood it. When I began to realize that Jesus dying on the cross wasn't just an event. And I was saved. I loved the Lord. I was a pastor. But I began to hear teachings on the fact that Jesus took my sin nature. And he nailed it to the cross. I always understood that he forgave my sins. And I accepted that and accepted him as my Savior. But revelation began to come. And we went into a season where we taught on grace for 5 years for our guests. God wouldn't let us move off of it. And that grace is so incredible that he would be willing to go to the cross, take my sins, your sins, our sins as people, that he would take our sickness, that he would take our lawlessness, that he would take our rebellion and become that to be the perfect sacrifice, that he would do that. I remember as the truth of this began to unfold that God so loved me, that God so loved us that he gave his life. When that began to penetrate, when it began to penetrate that his love is perfect, even when I do it wrong and I mess up, he still loves me. Because when he died and I accept his death, I was there in him. He was there. I'm not saying it right. We were in him when he died, right? We were in him when he died. He took our sin nature. He destroyed our sin nature. So when we get born again, we're brand new creations, the Bible tells us. When that depth of that began to penetrate, the love of the Father that he would allow Jesus to die in my place. I wasn't even born, obviously. Neither were any of us. He died. He purposed to die to set us free. Such love. When that began to, I remember one day just shouting, Lord, you set me free. I'm free. The love of that, the joy of that, that began to go into my heart. So when I read that he's the resting place inside of us, the very source and root of our lives, it's pretty amazing. But I want to even bring it a little further. Do you remember Jesus was in the Jordan River and he's baptized? He goes in the water, he comes up out of the water, just like we do in the waters of baptism. And then the Holy Spirit descends on him, and he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. But there's one more step that's so often overlooked. And it's the fact that Jesus stood there, and the Father spoke. It says that there was a sound from heaven. The voice, they heard it. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Right? That happened at his baptism. He hadn't done a miracle. He hadn't begun ministry yet. This is the Son of God who's left heaven, left his power and authority in heaven, comes down, walks as a man, having to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's why he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. All the steps that happen to you and I. Look it up in Scripture. It's there very clearly. But the bigger thing is the Father puts a baptism of love on him. A security comes into Jesus. A love comes into Jesus. He has the Father's love. "This is my beloved Son. World, know this is my Son." Jesus is baptized in love in that moment. And that love carries him to the cross. That love takes him through the beatings. That love takes him through the crown of thorns being put on his head. That love allows him to take all the rebuke of the Pharisees, the mocking that went on when he stood there in the praetorium. That love was such a security inside of him that he was immovable. God has given us that love. And it's time for us to know that that love is tangibly there for you and I. It's powerful. Most of us know about his love. But many of us have not experienced the depth of that love. I think most of us know who Charles Stanley is, right? This is out of his book, The Reason of My Hope. He was in a desperate place. He needed a lot of healing. He had been abused in his childhood. And he was just in a very deep, deep, painful place. This is a quote. He asked four men to come away with him that he trusted. And they went somewhere private. And he poured out his heart to them of what he was struggling with. And he says in the book, he woke up at one point in the night. He wrote 17 pages of the pain that was inside of him just to be able to share with these men. When he got all done, he says, "Charles," the one man said, "Charles, put your head on the table and close your eyes." He said to me very kindly, "Charles, I want you to envision your father picking you up in his arms and holding you." After a few moments, he said, "What do you feel?" Charles burst out crying and crying. Finally, when he stopped, this man asked him again, "What do you feel?" He said, "Warm, loved, secure. I feel good." He says, and then he began weeping again. He wept for hours. For the first time in his life, he felt emotionally that God loved him. He had known it as a fact from the Word, and he believed by faith that God loved him. He had never emotionally felt God loving him. God had poured a flood into him of his divine love. It turned his life around. because we're not going to be as long today, I want to read you another quote. There's people that are impacted by this love. Leif Hetland is one, but Heidi Baker is another one. She said, when you first fall in love with your spouse, everything's so different. You just want to be near that person, right? You want to spend time with them. There's so much you want to talk about. But after you've been married for 50 years, that love grows into a depth of maturity. So she says, they had ministered for 26 years on the field. They had worked hard and they had little fruit for their labor. She says, this passion that I came to know is being totally committed. She tells a story about Roland and her when they were missionaries. Roland was born on the mission field, but after 26 years of hard work, they got tired and really burnt out. She says, to say that we were missing the point was an understatement. But then she went to Toronto Airport and had a radical encounter with God. God poured this incredible love into her, and she was transformed, and then Roland. They found themselves fully in love with the Lord, fully committed. And with that love came an unstoppable energy. She speaks about having a power in the Holy Spirit that she had never known before, and a willingness to go anywhere that the Lord asked her to go. She feels it came from this incredible baptism of love. Heidi will go into the darkest places because she knows the light of his presence is waiting there for her. The places she goes into, I have a devotional of hers. Unbelievable. I mean, this is a petite, if you don't know who she is, petite little woman. And, Mozambique, one of the poorest nations in Africa, is climbing up in the economy of Africa. It's being put on the map because one woman and a team can make a difference. Her thing is she stops for the one. So Heidi Baker goes into the garbage dumps, for those of you who wouldn't know her ministry, walks into the garbage dumps to salvage these children that are there trying to scrape for some kind of an existence. I mean, they're broken hurting. Not only does she bring them back to their ministry, they come into her home. They come to watch movies at night in her home. They aren't just out there. They're part of a family. She walks for miles and miles and miles in the day to go and find the one that God wants to minister to. She has seen blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, the dead raised, children baptized in the Holy Spirit, laying hands on the sick, that villages open up. And you listen to her and you think, how do you do this? I've heard her in person. How do you do this? Because she had a baptism of love from the Father at Toronto Blessing, criticized in North America. But God fed the hungry there, and she was one of them. And the economy of Mozambique is totally being turned around because they keep shifting the atmosphere over the nation. They pray. I forget, there was a war going on. Their children didn't leave. She's in another foreign nation. She's speaking to the children by phone, and they're all praising the Lord like we did this morning in the war zone when they're pulling everybody out. And they stayed, and they were totally protected. So God has a different plan for you and I. He really does. He wants to baptize us with this incredible love. And as has been said this morning by Pastor Jay, this is our opportunity to love. This is our opportunity to call people and pray for them over the phone. This is our opportunity, if we're healthy and well, to go and get groceries for somebody else. This is our opportunity to pray. I got up this morning thinking, Lord, you've given us all authority. Why can't we pray for Canada? Why does this have to put Canada down? This is a nation that's been set apart to be healing to the nations of the world. Amen? Amen. God loves you. He wants to fill you with his love over and over. I want to encourage you, take time today and every day as we walk through this season to let the Holy Spirit fill you up and pray it for your extended families and your neighbors and your friends. Lord, come, flood us with your love. It's the foundation. His love is the foundation of our lives. Amen. He loves us perfectly. He did it all already. He can't add a thing to it. He's done it already. So, Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love. And Father, I ask for a baptism of your love to fall in this place. That Father, if we've never experienced your love, there is a depth of love that you want to pour into our hearts that will hold us steady, that will empower us, that will fill us with faith, that will cause us to step into places we wouldn't step. Because your presence is so strong and you're directing us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that love. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given your life for us. Thank you, Father, that when you said, "This is my beloved Son," you now speak that over us. Thank you that you now speak that over us. We are your beloved children, sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible, incredible baptism of love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.